Hello, good evening, and welcome to this gripping edition of Left, Right and Center, where we dive into the heart of the controversy surrounding Operation Sindoor. The Chief of Defense Staff, General Anil Chauhan's recent remarks in Singapore have ignited a political firestorm as he acknowledged losses during the operation while withholding specific details, emphasizing India's robust response and lessons that we have learned. His comments on conflicts below the nuclear threshold underscore the delicate balance of modern warfare. Listen in to what the CDS had to say.
On 7th and the initial stages, there were losses, but the numbers, and that's not important. What was important is why did these losses occur and what did we do after that? So we rectified the tactics and then went back on 7th, 8th and 10th, and 10th in large numbers, to hit air bases deep inside Pakistan. Penetrated all their air defenses. Air Force went into a short mode as to why did this happen. They rectified their tactics and flew in again. And flew all types of aircraft with all type of ordnances on 10th. Most of the strikes were delivered with pinpoint accuracy, some even to a meter, to whatever was our selected mean point of impact. So we were quite certain that none of them will go astray, and they land at the places where we desired them. There's a lot of space before that nuclear threshold is, you know, crossed. A lot of signaling before that. I think nothing like that happened. The most rational people are people in uniform when conflict takes place. That's because they understand that conflict can swing either way. In every step which happened during this Operation Sindoor, I found both sides displaying a lot of rationality in their thoughts as well as actions. Why should we assume that in the nuclear domain there will be irrationality on someone else's part? I think that they will be subjected to very, very rational kind of behavior. You know, almost 80% of the equipment which Pakistan has procured in the past few years actually has been procured from China. Government of India has made it quite clear. They have laid down the limits of the tolerance against terror activities. What I can say is, on 7th and the initial stages, there were losses, but the numbers, and that's not important. What was important is why did these losses occur and what did we do after that? So we rectified the tactics and then went back on 7th, 8th and 10th, and 10th in large numbers, to hit air bases deep inside Pakistan. Penetrated all their air defenses with impunity, carried out precision strikes. So Air Force went into a short mode as to why did this happen. They rectified their tactics and flew in again and flew all types of aircraft with all type of ordnances on 10th. Now that satellite images for all the strikes are available, not only through Indian media but from global sources, and you would have seen that most of the strikes were delivered with pinpoint accuracy, some even to a meter, to whatever was our selected mean point of impact. So we were quite certain that none of them will go astray, and they land at the places where we desired them. There's a lot of space before that nuclear threshold is, you know, crossed. A lot of signaling before that. I think nothing like that happened. Over a period of time, as I said in a couple of other meetings, that there's a lot of space for conventional operations which has been created, and this will be the new norm. It's my personal view again that the most rational people are people in uniform when conflict takes place. That's because they understand that conflict can swing either way. They understand the consequences of this kind of a conflict, and in every step which happened during this Operation Sindoor, I found both sides displaying a lot of rationality in their thoughts as well as actions. So why should we assume that in the nuclear domain there will be irrationality on someone else's part? I think that they will be subjected to very, very rational kind of a behavior. So while this was unfolding from 22nd onwards, we didn't find any unusual activity in the operational or tactical depth of our northern borders. And things were generally all right. And as regard the assistance provided to Pakistan during this particular conflict, You all are aware that, you know, almost 80% of the equipment which Pakistan has procured in the past few years actually has been procured from China. So I'm sure some kind of an support from the OEM, etc., to refine problems, rectification, maintenance, this kind of support certainly would have been provided. I think Government of India has made it quite clear. They have laid down the limits of the tolerance against terror activities emanating from Pakistan. And it's quite clear that India is going to respond precisely and decisively should there be any further terror attacks emanating from Pakistan. So that's, I think, has its own dynamics as far as the armed forces are concerned. It will require us to be prepared 24/7.
All right, before we go to our guests, let me quickly go across to my colleague Vishnu Shom. He's joining us live. Vishnu, please contextualize what the CDS has said here.
Well, the Chief of Defence Staff has made a couple of very important points. Firstly, he has directly addressed the entire issue on whether India lost fighter aircraft in the early phases of this short war between India and Pakistan. And he suggests that, in fact, that has taken place. In fact, India has never denied that losses had taken place. But the point that the Chief of Defence Staff had to actually say, General Chauhan, is that, look, there were tactical errors or tactical issues which had been made in the initial phases, which were then rectified. And then the Indian Air Force went back in significant numbers and then carried out their operations. He also mentioned that losses do take place in war. And this is, you know, sort of stating the obvious. You cannot have a situation where you go into a conflict where you sort of expect to come out without any losses. The very nature of warfare is one where any armed force would take in hand the fact that there could be losses. So he said that, look, at the end of the day, what we did achieve was to send a decisive message. We struck Pakistan hard. Our missiles that we sent across hit their targets with extreme precision. And if necessary, if there are further terrorist attacks in the future, India would be ready to do that again, for which our armed forces need to be ready 24 hours a day. One final point over here, while a great deal is being said about the fact that this is India's top military commander stating for the first time that the Indian Air Force sustained losses. In fact, that's not the case. Air Marshal looking after operations at Air Headquarters, Director General of Air Operations, when asked a question by the Hindu in a press conference in the early phases of Operation Sindhu, said, look, we've got all our people back, which is a clear indicator of the fact that, yes, you know, the Indian Air Force did have losses. Now, the government still doesn't want to, at any level, get into the numbers of losses. Now, I've asked them why they don't want to do that, and they say that any indicator of that would give the enemy, in this case Pakistan, a clearer idea of the strength which actually lies with the Indian Air Force, or a clearer number or idea of the numbers which we have on board. And the bigger point, I believe the more substantial point, is that, look, this is not over. Op Sindhu continues. Our armed forces remain in a state of fairly high alert. Therefore, they don't want to be getting into, you know, I've lost X number of aircraft or Y number of aircraft. They are much more focused on what they have achieved and whether the goal that they were seeking to achieve has been achieved. And as we've been reporting on the basis of very clear satellite imagery, if the goal was to hit terrorist training camps in Pakistan, that's been achieved. When Pakistan retaliated, what did the Indian Air Force do? They struck Indian Pakistani air bases with precision. Was that achieved? Indeed it was. So these remarks by the Chief of Defence Staff need to be contextualized. Of course, there has to be 100% accountability for any losses. Tactical issues need to be sorted out. But they were in a fairly quick period of time, because you couldn't have fought this short war without the sustained presence of the Indian Air.
Absolutely. And very important points that you have made, Vishnu. In fact, we are also joined by Lieutenant General Rakesh Sharma, former Adjutant General of the Indian Army. I also have Lieutenant General S.L. Narasimhan, Defence Analyst and former member of NSAB. Gentlemen, very warm welcome to both of you on NDTV. Lieutenant General Narasimhan, what I want to understand from you is that General Chauhan, he highlighted that India quickly rectified the tactical mistakes here. What are the tactical lessons that India can learn from the losses that General Chauhan has mentioned here?
Thank you very much for getting me on your show. Actually, General Chauhan, CDS has mentioned the right things. In any war, the surprise of any side that can achieve is till the first round that is fired. Once the first round goes in, then quickly you understand as to what are the problems that you have and what are the solutions that need to be found. And that is precisely what happened about what CDS said. On 7th, when you launched those offensive, there were a certain amount, and like Vishnu mentioned, the DG Air Ops clearly mentioned that, you know, in any war, there will be losses. That is what he clearly mentioned. That is an acknowledgement, actually, of some losses having occurred. So there is nothing new in what General Chauhan talked about the losses. People are actually pitching for numbers. Numbers doesn't matter. Numbers can be recouped. Numbers can be reworked. That's not a problem. What actually we need to understand is in any war, when you're going for the first round, you learn from that, and then thereafter you adjust your tactics, adjust your armory, adjust your weapon that you are carrying, adjust the weapon packages, adjust the aircraft, which is suitable for a particular task, and then relaunch it. This is precisely what has happened in Operation Sindoor. Take your mind back to Operation Kargil. Even in Kargil, initially when the launches went in, there were a certain amount of drawbacks. They were reworked and then relaunched again. So this is the typical methodology in which a war is fought. And as far as the losses are concerned, I think it is a well-accepted kind of a thing by the DG Air Op that there would have been some losses. Numbers actually really don't matter. That is the way I think one needs to look at it. The most important point which CDS mentioned are two things. One, the limit of tolerance has been laid down by the Indian government. That is very important. Second, there is a level of, below the threshold of nuclear threat, there can be conventional operations that could be done, which has been proven by 2016, 2019, and 2020-25. So this is something I think we need to keep in mind. I think the CDS said the right thing.
General Sharma, let me ask you the next question. As somebody who's been a former adjutant general of the army, you've trained to fight war throughout your entire career. How is sustaining losses, whether of men or of equipment, part of the way that wars are conducted? Why should anyone for a moment assume that there'll be no losses of aircraft? That's not the way war works, particularly in the case of near peers like the Pakistan Air Force and the Indian Air Force.
Thank you for inviting me, Vishnu. The question is genuine and right. Everybody would expect that there would be losses, and everybody would expect that as soon as the war is joined, there would be surprises and there would be something new with the adversary will bring to the fore, which will not be anticipated or which may not be planned for. And that surprise one has to be prepared for, which initially would cause some kind of casualties, some kind of damage, and some kind of rethinking of plan, which the CDS is rightly hinted out. It is apparent that when we went in for this operation of Sindoor, we went in with the typical Indian morality in view and rationality, saying that we wanted to hit only the targets which were of the counter-terror related, specifically Bahawalpur, Muridkhane, and those in the POK. We did not target any military installations, neither the aircrafts, nor we could have done what we did on 10th, on 7th itself, but we did not deliberately do that. We left the thing as what we did on 10th as part of the escalation plan that we would have made. So on 7th, we did exactly as an honorable nation would do. We hit the only terror targets. The response of the Pakistanis were absolutely different, despite the fact we would have informed them after the act that there was we had target only terrorism issues. But what the Pakistanis responded was against military, Indian military, Indian military resources, the Air Force assets, and that actually expanded it. So their response was much on a wider scale. And we had to now rethink our plans and rethink our thought processes. So what the CDS has said, that we learned from what happened on the first night, which obviously implied that there would have been some casualties on the equipment on Indian side. And we learned fast. We also would have learned that there is a expanded bubble of the Pakistan's force level that it has applied against India, and we learned fast. And what we did immediately thereafter for the next 3 days was absolutely different. So to expect that there would be no casualties is impossible. It cannot happen. This is the fog of war. These are the vagaries of fighting across with adversaries of this kind. And also it gives us a feel that Pakistan's response invariably will come out to be offensive in nature and also against military targets. And it is not that they would circumvent the issue. So we have to next time be prepared that, you know, even if we hit a terrorist target in Pakistan, their response will be larger military in nature. And we have to be prepared for that thought process for the future.
You know, General Narasimhan, and this is what I tell my friends who keep asking me, a war is not a cricket match. It's not about one team scoring a six and the other one getting a wicket. You have to score a six and sometimes you will lose a wicket. And therefore, there needs to be a certain sense. And I think people need to be aware that what Twitter feeds you on, what is the score line? Is it 6-0 in favor of the Pakistan Air Force is not the way that military planners look at war or conduct war, that there is this entirely new dimension, right, of information warfare, which has emerged where people look almost instantly at score lines. And I have knocked down that plane and I have knocked down that terror target. Ultimately, each country has a goal. Pakistan would have a goal. India would have a goal. And you, quote unquote, win, right? If you are to use that word, you may choose not to even use that word. But if you do, it is based on the objectives that you have outlined. It's not about losing one or two planes or how many soever number of planes you've lost. Would that be a way of looking at it?
I mean, you are bang on. I'll just quote you a couple of examples to understand this, okay? You please look at the way Balakot happened. First night, the Air Force went into Jabhatab, did what they need to do, and then they came back. There was a euphoria. Next day, Wing Commander Abhinandan gets caught on the other side. So that euphoria actually goes back into a kind of desolation. So you need to understand, in war, it is extremely easy for the fortunes switch from one side to the other, depending on what one side does or what the other side does. There are many examples. If you go back into battles of 1971, 1999, there are many, many examples of this. So we need to understand, like, for example, I launch something and I'll come back fully the way I went and without any losses. The most important thing that we need to understand in this conflict is that the DG Air Ops clearly mentioned all the pilots are safe back home. It is easy to replace an equipment. It is extremely difficult to replace a trained fighter pilot or a trained aircraft pilot. So it's all the pilots are back home. I think we should be extremely happy about it. The equipment, in any case, will get lost. I am sure, even when the artillery duel took place on the 8th and 9th, subsequently, even on the 10th and beyond, you will find there are certain equipment losses that would have taken place on our side. Nobody's talking about that. Actually, these are, you know, high profile kind of equipment, and so everybody talks about it. But I am sure there are other equipment we would have lost, and we would have cost actually much more losses to the Pakistani side. This is something we need to understand. This is not that I lost one and so Pakistan should lose one. It could be very well that you may have lost one or two aircraft and Pakistan would have lost much more than what they actually bargained for. So this is the way war actually happens. One day you will have a euphoria. The next day you will find you are in the dumps. And then you come out of it and then relaunch and then get back to the euphoria again. That is the way war is fought. Yep. It is not that, you know, everything will be hunky-dory the way you planned it. There is a saying, you plan for N contingencies, the enemy will come up with the N plus one contingency. And that N plus one contingency will surprise you. You get up, you rework your tactics, you relaunch, and then get back to the kind of ascendancy that you wanted to have. I think this is the way we need to look at warfare. It is not a very easy game. And when CDS said, the people fighting the war are the ones who will need the war the last. Basically, because they understand the problems, understand the issues that will come up because of a conflict. This is something I think our viewers should understand. And this is not a simple game,
right?
That, you know, you win something, you come back with a success. You have to face both.
Right. General Rakesh Sharma, you know, what the CDS has mentioned is regarding rationality. It is also quite important because what he says is that both the sides, they have displayed rationality. There was a rationality in thoughts and action. But when it comes to the other argument of nuclear prowess that both the nations possess, can we really trust Pakistan? That is the big question.
Well, the question of rationality is based on some timing and based on some events. So while what the CDS says is right, that there has been rationality in escalation control and, you know, in the management of the things and how the DGMOs maintained hot lines and they spoke to each other. So there was a rationality around in many ways. But many ways, Pakistan has shown for a very long time that there is irrationality. When their chief army staff was pushed to the wall by all that which has been happening in Baluchistan and in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa, and his hands were tied down, he thought the best way to pursue the issue is to do an action like what they did in Pahalgam. So Pahalgam was not a rational act. It was absolutely irrational, well understanding that we would respond to it. And that would heighten the ultra-nationalism in Pakistan, which was at that time getting totally anti-army. So the plan itself was to protect self-preservation for the Pakistan army, especially for the chief of army staff. And that brought in that it was irrational thought process because it brought two nations as close to war as possible. When the war was joined, or what you call it, near war, or you call it conflict, or whatever you call it, at that juncture on 7th onwards, there was seeming rationality. To answer the question on nuclear, see, on the 9th of 9th and 10th, when the major onslaught started by taken up by the Indian Air Force, and we targeted from Skardu down to Bolari, all along the Pakistan front edge and the depth, it was clear that the targeting was focused, planned, precise, calibrated, and all on important targets. It wasn't ad hoc at all. It was just not firing for the sake of firing. That's the time when Pakistan let it out in some manner of the thinking, especially to the Americans, that the meeting of the NCA has been called. 6-7 hours later, they said, no, there is no meeting of the NCA. The NCA call, which came up on 10th morning, is a signaling to the other side and also to the global people that there is a nuclear card being played, a signaling being carried out.
Absolutely.
And when there was involvement across by when the talk started between DGMOs and, you know, finally they spoke to each other, they said, okay, NCA has not met. But the signaling was carried out for the NCA because they knew that the targeting undertaken by the Indian Air Force on 10th morning was of a very superior quality and there was no answer to the Pakistanis' air defense. Also, despite the fact that there was a collaboration between China and Pakistan on various fronts, they could not answer the targeting. So the NCA was a signaling given to... So I would say that even the hint of an NCA meeting being called was a irrational act to tell the West to protect them for the next onslaught that would come on, say, 11th or 12th. Hmm. So, you know, it's a game being played in this manner. And I'd like to add one more issue here, that the issue of perceptions, which Vishnu also were talking about this. After the Ukraine war and what's happened in Gaza, there is an international kind of every known person has become an industry on commenting on military affairs, especially about technology, especially about equipment comparisons. So the perception issue has gone global.
Absolutely.
So as soon as that first hint came that there was an aircraft downed or something, the international media, including French people who are pilots of flown Rafael, have started off in a big way on comparisons and things like that. So the perceptional war was parallelly fought. And, you know, as you are in media, you know as better,
in fact,
that, you know, this was as significant as a war that was fought in Op Sindoor.
Absolutely, sir.
Should we have waited for so long?
General Rakesh Sharma and General Narasimhan, this also, in a way, reveals a lot about India's evolving military doctrine. When you talk about the global trends in modern warfare, Thank you to the both of you and Vishnu Shom for joining us for this very insightful discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Time now for a very short break. More news and updates on the other side.